Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 275 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast with me, your host, Anthony DiDomenico, coming to you live every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're live on Facebook. The podcast is also available at anchor.fm/KMF podcast. If you people like the video and you missed the live, you can always go back on my Facebook and watch it, but also Spotify, if you're a Spotify member. It has that availability as well. You can watch the full videos on the podcast right on Spotify on your phone. Take them anywhere you want. So check it out. Give it a listen on Spotify. We're also available on iTunes. And while you're there, 5-star rate and review. I love reading reviews. I love sharing on social media and bragging about the best podcast listeners out there. That is you guys. Patreon. There will be a bonus episode each week. Each month on Patreon. You can sign up at patreon.com/KMF podcast, as well as the current bonus episodes. It's got all the past ones there as well. You can catch up on some bonus content. What I'm kind of doing now with these are, like, I call them dashboard confessionals because I do them when I'm driving in my car. Just pop it on and it's real talk. So it's sometimes I say things maybe too much, but again, it's the Patreon. You guys are signing up for the bonus content. So head on over there, patreon.com/KMF podcast. Built Bar is coming out with a bunch of new flavors. The Built Puff peanut butter is amazing. I'm not a big fan of marshmallow, but this, they did it. They got me on this one. Check it out, builtbar.com. Use code WWBROPODCAST. Sail Away Coffee, the best nitro brew out there. Local Long Island company, that's why I like to get behind it. But also, the coffee is absolutely delicious. They ship throughout the whole United States. Check it out at sailawaycoffee.com. Use code WWBRO10. Anybody interested in the Plexus products, we had Katie on last week talking about it. Kim was on the beginning of the month. DM me and we'll get talking about Plexus and the benefits and what it could do for you. My buddy John Ziegler has released a comedy special. It's on YouTube. It's called John Ziegler Getting My Affairs in Order. John was on the podcast about a month or so ago. Check it out. You can go to the link on his Instagram page. Follow him at John Ziegler Comedy. The link is in his bio. Check it out. Also, you want to come see me and John Ziegler do comedy and you're on Long Island? Well, May 12th, we're at the Hardigan House in Bethpage. DM me for ticket info and details. I'll give you the number to call to get tickets. It's going to be a fun show. It's John Ziegler, myself, and Jordan Lauterbach. You know, these are guys that I perform with over the last 13 years. Always have a blast performing with them. Absolutely hilarious comedians. You're definitely not going to miss this show. So once again, that's May 12th at the Hardigan House in Bethpage, Long Island. DM me for ticket info. And hopefully you can make the show. It'd be a lot of fun. I did comedy this weekend in Princeton, New Jersey. It was my buddy Ryan Marr. You can go follow him at Ryan Marr Comedy. Really fun weekend, as always, in Princeton, New Jersey. I love being at that club. And just like, it's like a weekend away. They put you up in a really nice hotel room. The place is great. The bar afterwards is fun to hang out. Good food there. Some buffalo mozzarella with a little tomato sauce and balsamic vinaigrette. Absolutely delicious. They make a nice rustic pizza there. So you can't really go wrong with the food they got there. I've had some other stuff there too, like the salads and the wraps are good as well. And again, if you're in, you know, the Princeton area, catch a rising star. Go check out a comedy show. They're putting on great shows there. But just come back with me and Ryan there. That's really, just come see us. I'm not sure when I'm back there again. Usually I'm there twice a year. But it was a fun weekend away. Yeah, I did my usual thing. Saturday, hit up the local cigar lounge over there and just hung out with Ryan. Had a bunch of laughs and had some good shows. Emily Page did a guest spot on the Saturday show. So it was great getting to meet her finally in person. And we had fun afterwards, hanging out at the bar, a lot of laughs. And then, you know, it's back to reality. You come back to the regular world and gotta go back to work tomorrow. And you know, I'm not a comedian anymore. Not until May 12th. It's the next show. But no, it was fun. It was a really good time. And it was nice too, because I got to, you know, since I've had the car, I've been looking to just take a little bit of road trip. And this was it. Got to kind of stretch the legs on my new car. And it was fun. Just sitting, driving, drinking coffee. Nothing better than that. I've been doing that anyway. I've been driving Uber for a while. So kind of the same thing. Just not getting paid for it. Anyway, let's get on with the podcast with this week's episode. This is 275 episodes. It's kind of crazy that I've been doing it this long. And it kind of comes in, you know, unison with my WW anniversary. Today is 6 years that I walked back into WW and started this journey that I've been chronicling on this podcast for over 5 years. I started the podcast the January after. So we're about almost five and a half months into the podcast, 275 episodes, and a lot of changes. This journey has been ups and downs and everything else. It is 6 years since I started, and to be honest, I'm really don't feel like celebrating it. Because I'm not at a place where I feel like I'm really doing well. You know, I'm maintaining, I'm hanging in there. And I want to be doing more than that. And I know that it's on me, that I have to like snap out of it and get to it. You know, I lose and I gain and I lose and I gain, and I'm still down a little over 100 pounds, which is, I guess, great. You know, I'm not at my heaviest, but I don't feel like I did a couple years into this journey. You know, you think about the whole craziness of it. You know, I came at it, guns blazing, as we always do. You start something new, it's exciting. It's, you know, you're looking for those results and boom, you hit it like gangbusters. And I did. I had a lot of success right out of the gate. And the first 3 or 4 years was awesome. You know, being down over 200 pounds at one point and, you know, getting involved in this community. Now, one thing I never will regret is the people that I've met and still maintain a friendship with that I've met over these last 6 years. You know, actually, Sunday, coming back from Princeton, I met up with my buddy Goose, who I met through Instagram, this journey, him and his wife, Beth. I've met them through here. You can follow Beth also, Mama Snaccident, on Instagram. If you've been on WW, you probably do already. And these are people that I've met through Instagram and doing this program and going to meetups, like Kim that was on here, you know, her husband, Brian, I became friends with as well. So yeah, it's a lot. My circle grew because there are a lot of like-minded people. And I'll always say, meet your internet friends. I say it here on all the time because it is true. Meet these people. Some of the best people I have met. And I started this journey with my best friend, Nick, who I'm still on it with. We still go to our weekly workshops and we're in the grind. And, you know, it is what it is. And yeah, I would love to be sitting here 6 years. When I started this, I thought I'd probably be a goal or near it or something. Not think I'd be where I am now. And it's, you know, I don't know, to celebrate the fact that I'm still trying, maybe, but it's not the same feeling that I had those first few years when May first hit. It's actually a little bittersweet because it's like, I feel like another year wasted of like the up and down stuff that I've been doing that, you know, I wanted to end. And I've sat on here so many times and said, this is it. Here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Here we go. And it's all the same spiel. And it's a matter of just getting it done. And eventually I will. It's going to happen. Like I've said so many other times. I mean, you know, I've been eating better since December, since that whole scare I had going to the hospital with my gallbladder and my acid reflux, because I have to control that. I don't want that to happen again. So that kind of did scare me. And I guess that's why I can kind of like, I'm hovering around where I am, even though, you know, it's just not. I'm half-assing it on the program is basically what I'm doing. And it's not going to work that way. And I just, you know, got to snap out of it. But again, we'll see what happens like this year coming up. I'm not making any promises. I'm not going to make any grand statements. I just know I have to get to work and do the whole damn thing. But I look at, you know, the ups and downs over this 6 years, you know, going gung-ho into this program. And what I was really obsessed about for a while is becoming a WW ambassador and kind of like focused on that and, you know, doing things that I think that the company would want to see and what people would want to see and what they want to share, and not like sharing everything I'd want to share. And that, you know, I look about now, I'll post what I want to post. If you don't want to follow me, unfollow me, please. I'm not for everybody. I'm an acquired taste. I get it. You know, I can't be worried about that anymore. You know, I was always scared, like, is WWE going to see this? They're not going to like it. They're going to think I went overboard, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I don't worry about that anymore. You know, then there was the pandemic that hit. That was weird, because then everything's online now. And I feel we really haven't come back from that as far as the company hasn't. They've gone to more online meetings and they're closing down workshops. And I hate to see that. I absolutely hate to see workshops being shut down, because I know how much it means to me. Even now, still, I look forward to every Wednesday going to that workshop. It keeps me balanced in a way. Like, it keeps me really from going off the deep end. And I couldn't imagine if I lost that. I know for a fact I wouldn't be on Zoom every week doing that. I wouldn't do it. I'd lose focus and because I hated it. I hated when the workshops were on Zoom. That was the only way to do it. I hated it. Yeah, it was fun for the first like month or so. You jump around workshop to workshop and you went on different ones and you saw people in other states, but then that got tired real quick for me. And I was like, yeah, this is the same, you know, it's on Zoom and not my thing. I got to be in person, going with it. And, you know, there's the comebacks I've tried and this and that. And so it's been 6 years, and I guess I'm happy I'm still doing this podcast. I'm still fighting, and hopefully next year I'll have a better anniversary to talk about. Lucky number 7. You know, it's a journey, because it's not quick and easy, and a lot of different paths you could take. And I'm kind of happy where I am now, as far as getting better mentally and dealing with different things. And to me, that's, I guess, better than where I was a couple of years ago. So I'll take that as a win, and I'll celebrate that. But I saw something that I kind of want to talk about, especially this week. Kind of like when I saw this, I'm like, okay, this is what the podcast is going to be about this week. So if anybody follows me and knows me, you know that I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan. And what his movies and the stuff he puts out there, what it means to me. Actually, me and my best friend Nick, we went last weekend down to Red Bank. There was the 26th anniversary of Chasing Amy. We went for the movie and the meet and greet. Got to meet Kevin Smith afterwards. We actually met him before. We went early to go to the Stash and the Quick Stop, and we were walking into the Stash. Kevin Smith was walking out, and I had my shirt on. It's the Chicago Blackhawks logo, but with Kevin Smith's face. So I actually, Silent Bob, it was his character. And he's like, hey man, great shirt. And I was like, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. And he was taking pictures in there. I went in, I told him about Clerks 3 and how it, like, you know, tore my heart out. Loved it, but I can't watch it again. He's like, yeah, man, I pulled the heartstrings at that one. And I said, hey, we're going to be at the movie tonight. And he was leaving. He goes, I'll see you at the movie tonight. I'll see you there. And, you know, watching the movie, this is the first time I saw the movie on the big screen. I've never seen Chasing Amy in the movies. I saw it afterwards because Nick had talked about this movie for months. And when it finally, he paid like a ridiculous amount of money to get on VHS before anybody else could. And I watched it and I was hooked immediately. I'm like, this movie grabbed a hold of me and was like, okay, I want to do something in entertainment. I want to entertain people. I want people to feel something by what I put out there. And this was the movie that did it. And I watched them all in reverse, actually, because they call it the Jersey Trilogy, Clerks, Mallrats, and Chasing Amy. I watched it in reverse order. I watched Mallrats, and then I watched Chasing Amy. Clerks. And when I watched Chasing Amy and Clerks, the two characters that I loved in those movies, Chasing Amy was Banky, and in Mallrats was Jason Lee's character Brody. So Jason Lee was at the meet and greet, and I watched this movie called Kissing a Fool. The only reason I saw it is because He was in it. The guy, the dude from Mallrats and Chasing Amy. And I actually ended up loving this movie. I think it's a very underrated romantic comedy. And when I shook Jason Lee's hand, I said, dude, I said, Kissing a Fool is the most underrated romantic comedy in the history of movies. And Kevin Smith was like shocked. He goes, Lee, Chasing a, he goes, no, he goes, Kissing a Fool. And Jason Lee was shocked too. He's like, oh, thanks, man. And Kevin actually said, glad to see you made it down to the movie. You know, I saw you this afternoon. So it was nice that he actually remembered me. And, you know, what he does for his fans is remarkable. He bought this movie theater in his hometown. You know, they show all different kinds of movies there. He does a lot of events with his fans. And I think out of any celebrity or filmmaker, he's the most hands-on with them. And does, because in that's why I think we relate to him so much. And that's why I related to the next thing he put out a lot. So Nick texted me the other day a link to a YouTube video, and he said it's long. He goes, but watch it. He goes, I've never related to something more. So it's called, I'm going to put the link in the show notes as well, because I think I want everybody to watch this. But it's called Trauma is Trauma, a mental health talk with Kevin Smith. People Magazine put it out. And it's Kevin Smith for like 35 minutes, you know, talking about his mental health, a little bit of a breakdown he had, him going away to get help. He went away to this clinic in Arizona for like 30 days and kind of like dug deep. And I'm listening to, I was watching this, and, you know, first thing, trauma is trauma, which is, I think, and it's a great title because I think people downplay people's trauma. Oh, well, this happened to me, and well, that's not so bad, and just deal with it. You know, and no, things affect people different ways, and you can't tell or know how something affects somebody. You can't tell somebody how to react to something, and you don't know how they are reacting to it. And I always felt like and it's weird, like, you know, you feel something close with a celebrity, but like, you feel like Kevin Smith's almost like, if you're a fan of his movies, like you relate to so much, and that like he's talking to you, and like Mr. Rogers would talk to you, do the thing, like he was feeding the fish and stuff like that. It's kind of like that for adults, I guess, in a way. And I turned this on and I was listening to it, and he talks about his first like trauma as a child. Like a sexual assault that happened to him with somebody older in the neighborhood that took him and this other girl in the neighborhood and made them do things to each other while he watched. And he talked about his strict Catholic upbringing and how he didn't tell anybody and how he felt like, you know, maybe it was his fault and stuff like that. And it's crazy, you know, because so many people feel that way, especially when things happen as a child. I've had something happen to me. Very few know about it. I actually just told my dad and my family about it like 5 years ago, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. And to me, it's always been a joke. Like it's something funny. I told my friends about it years ago, like it's something funny that happened. But you don't I guess this is the way we put it in our heads. And for years, I thought maybe it didn't happen because, you know, it's just a memory that I have. Now, I am blessed with an amazing memory. I remember everything. Conversations, things, exactly how it happened. My friends will attest to this. When they need to know that something that happened years ago, they'll ask me, and I can give them almost like a play-by-play, like I'm watching it again. It's also a curse in that you remember every little thing, every little bad thing that happened, everything that's said, done. And I think it helps me with comedy. When something happens in real life, I can then take that, mold it into whatever bit of comedy it is, and throw it out there. But when I was 5, I had this incident happen. So there was this kid that lived in the neighborhood, was about 10 or 11 years older than me. And he used to hang out with me and my brother. And you look at back, it's fucking weird. I'm sorry for cursing, but I'm just talking about something I've never really talked about openly. I'm not going to really control my language. So if you got baby ears, this is where you turn the podcast off. He would hang out with us all the time. And, you know, he's a kid. Thought it was cool because, you know, somebody who's 10 or 11 years older is hanging out with you. And you feel like, you know, I don't know, you feel cool, I guess, even at 5 years old. There was this like small amusement park by our house. And they had like a tunnel of love ride. And I was on it with him. And as we're going through, he's pointing out like couples kissing as they go through the tunnel of love. And he said to me, he goes, if you were really my friend, you would do this as we went through. And reluctantly, I did it. I let this guy kiss me at 5 years old, a kid who was 15, 16 years old. And never told anybody about it. Kind of blocked it away in my memory. Almost like it was a dream that didn't happen, but I knew what happened. And I guess even at five, I knew if I told somebody about this, he wasn't going to be allowed to hang out with me anymore, or he wasn't be allowed around the house. And I guess as I got older and, you know, became like a teenager and in my early 20s, even my 30s, I would joke about it to my friends. Like, oh, this happened to me. Like, you know, this dude kissed me in the tunnel love ride. Like, you know, it was, and I guess I never, you know, realized like the effect it has on you. With trusting people and just, you know, an innocence that's kind of taken away from you as a child. Maybe it's why I'm such a miserable asshole today. You know, I don't know. These things all like happen in your life and you deal with it and put it wherever you got to put it and you just move on with your life. And I remember like I was telling my dad and my brother and my sister-in-law, like it was a joke. And my dad got really angry and he's like, I told your mother not to let that freak near you kids. Like I knew there was something wrong with him. Like I, you know, and I guess I real, you know, I don't know what my dad was going through with that, you know, something happened to his kid. Because if somebody did that to my nephews and my niece, I would murder them. I'd go to jail. Oh, sorry. So I didn't know really how to deal with it. And then Kevin Smith's talking about it. And I'm like, okay, this makes more sense. And I'm not going to tell like every little bit about it, but like, you know, just different things that went on in his life. And you can almost like, I started like putting pieces together, even like, you know, we're talking about the 6 year anniversary that came up. And, you know, everybody blames the pandemic for putting weight back on and for things happening like, you know, that stuff happening. I did fine during the pandemic. I've talked about this many times. I was a rock star. I lost more weight that time than I did before. I was on a roll. I was grooving. I almost used it as like, you know, a motivating factor that like, okay, things are shut down, you know, I'm still going to just use this time to lose weight, get healthy and come out healthier than ever. Especially as, you know, they were saying like, you know, this COVID, you know, attacks people who are overweight, high blood pressure, diabetes. I don't want any of that stuff. I want to be healthy as possible. But I remember like, I had a breakdown at the beginning of the pandemic and Kevin Smith talks about a breakdown that he had, you know, and I related to that in the fact that, so when, what I lost in the pandemic was comedy. And it's still not the same for me as it was before. You know, people that kind of know me now, you know, I do shows here and there, but it was 4 to 6 times a week. It was every weekend. It was a big part of my life. And, you know, everything shut down mid-March. And my comedy anniversary is March 31st. And I remember sitting on my couch and I had a huge breakdown. I was sobbing uncontrollably. The fact that I couldn't be on stage for this night. And because I was always on stage every anniversary. I made it a point, even if it was a bar show or it was just at a coffee house or an open mic, that the night that I found a missing piece to my puzzle, you know, that made me feel whole, I didn't have. You know, because I look back, like, you know, I always felt there was something that I didn't fit in. And, you know, maybe this goes back to that incident. I never felt like I fit in a room. I always felt like I didn't belong. And when I did comedy, I felt there was that thing I belonged in. And it was what I was supposed to do. And these people got me and they were weird like me and they were crazy like me. And, you know, to anybody who gets on a stage and talks about personal things that, you know, are traumatizing, but you make it funny, you got to be a little crazy. And these were people that I gravitated towards, and I felt like I was in this community. And so when that's when it really hit me. And around this same time, I started in a long distance relationship with somebody. It was COVID, it was pandemic, where no one was going to see each other. It was just something fun and flirty through a phone, and it got real fast. And me, on my end, I took, I guess, that void I was, you know, trying to fill from comedy, and this was it. And it gave me all those sense of like the same thing comedy that, you know, I'm never more confident in myself and my ability than when I'm on stage. I never feel as powerful as I do when I'm on stage. Talented, all those things that, you know, pump me up. I feel that when I'm on stage. It's just it's a feeling I can't describe. I kind of did, but like, you know, it's a missing piece. And this became that. This relationship became that missing piece. So when it ended that November, I just fell apart. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't believe it. Because this relationship, I felt confident myself that this person saw things in me that I didn't see, and that they made me feel special. And, you know, they're almost 3,000 miles away, but yet I'm the one that they're choosing out of the whole world and country. They found me on, you know, through Instagram, you know, through this app that they have thousands of followers, and I'm the one that stood out. And it pushed me, you know, to the front, and I felt all those things again: confident, powerful, in myself, in my abilities. And then when it went away, that was all taken away again. And I felt like I always do with women, around women and everything else. I felt useless. And I fell apart. And I am an emotional eater. I'm a food addict. And I went to town, and I gained back a little over 100 pounds in 2 years. And just, I never pinpointed or made that connection to those two things before until I watched this thing with Kevin Smith. And I never realized, you know, how this, all these traumas are related and how I never dealt with them. Now I know, go to therapy. Easier said than done. I probably should. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. I've talked about it. I'm just talking now. I'm getting stuff out of the basement, as me and Nick say. We got that from Rocky Six. Rocky Six, Rocky Balboa. You know, he says there's still some stuff in the basement. And watching this thing with Kevin Smith brought a lot of that up. And how he created a character. You know, the Kevin Smith we saw was not the real Kevin Smith. It was a guy he wanted to present to the world. And, you know, we do that with Instagram. And I do that with this podcast. And I do that, you know. Yeah, there's still things I keep private. Not as much after this podcast, but, you know, we show the world what we want to see, and we create that character, and and sometimes we live that character and forget the person behind it. And I, myself, these last 2 years have been connecting more with the person behind the character. And when Kevin was talking about that in this video, I related to that a lot as well, because, you know, I put so much stock in somebody else finding all these great things in me. And now that they're not there to do that, you know, I should be doing that every day anyway. You know, I had Katie on last week. And if you don't follow Katie on Instagram, go do it. Mama Katie Lady. She put a video out today talking about loving yourself and being, you know, and being okay, you know, confident and everything. And it was great because she's like, people will tear you down. They see you happy, they tear you down. And I'm sorry if I'm a little over the place. It's just dealing with a lot right now with this podcast, and getting things out. But I felt that as well when I was successful. People always come to tear you down. And when I was trying to be vulnerable and share my failures, you know, people come for you even more. And they're happy that you're failing. And they're happy to see you do bad. Because they resent you so much on the way up. You know, I know people resented me for losing 200 pounds and for, you know, just doing these things and being successful on something that they're not being successful on. It's the same program. They're doing the same thing. But again, it's the work you put into it. I didn't lose 200 pounds. You know, I do a joke about it that, you know, I ran into the guy from Beetlejuice. He sprinkled that shit on my head and I lost 200 pounds on my head. I didn't lose 200 pounds by accident. I didn't lose it, you know, because I was lucky. I lost it because I broke my ass doing it. I did it because I worked harder than most people at it. I'm not working hard at it, and I'm not losing it. So there, I know that. I don't blame anybody else. I don't begrudge anybody else their success. I'm people's biggest cheerleaders. You know, I've had my buddy John Arpino on here a bunch of times. I am his biggest cheerleader. I tell people about him all the time. People talk about weight loss. I'm like, you got to check my buddy John. Look at what he's done. Look what he's continued to do. He reinvents himself all the time. Creates new goals to chase. You know, I'm proud of my friend Kim, who's on the podcast. She keeps fighting and she keeps reinventing herself. You know, my friend Nick, I'm proud of what he's doing. Nick, you know, I look at Nick and he had a shit year. You know, next time he's on the podcast, maybe he'll talk about it. He had one of the shittiest years you could have as a person. It's just a lot of shit happens to you, you know, personal stuff. The way he's rebounding and doing things that make him happy and what he wants to do is inspiring. You know, he lived the light, dream came true, played the whiskey, got a part in a movie. He's now the executive producer of that movie, flew to Atlanta to shoot scenes in the movie. Had an awesome weekend this weekend. We'll leave it at that. He knows what I'm talking about. Just all these things that happen when you put yourself first and really try to be happy and, you know, deal with the trauma. You know, and who knows? You know, these things make you who you are. Maybe that's, you know, why I wanted to become a comedian, is to make people laugh about these things. But again, something that, you know, Nick actually brought this up too, and I didn't even think about it when I told him that something that happened to me, and he was like, "Was it would happen at camp? With, you know, with wanting to do comedy, and they made you do something else?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, that happened too." And it was another thing I laughed off my whole life, but it definitely is the reason why I'm so insecure about my body, myself, and, you know, being overweight. And Kevin Smith kind of had this happen to him as well. He said when he was in like elementary school, and he went to Catholic school, and a nun walked up to him and was like, "Smith, what's with that gut?" You know, talking about his stomach and he was overweight. And as a kid to hear that, that's horrible. How do you do that to a kid? And when I was in camp, when I was about 8, 9 years old, there was a talent show. I think I've told this story on here before, but I'll just, you know, if you're new to the podcast and it also falls into this, I wanted to tell jokes. When I was 8 or 9 years old, I saw the movie Roxanne, and there was an incident. If you see the movie, he's got like this big long nose. It's kind of like that Cyrano character. It was a take on that. And a guy calls him Big Nose. And he was like, "Is that the best you could do?" And I related to that even as a kid because I was overweight and kids made fat jokes. And I was always like, and I would come back. I always had a comeback. I've always was quick with that. It was just something that, you know, would stop me from being bullied a lot as a kid, because if you're going to come at me with something, I got something better to come at you with. That's why I handle hecklers so well on stage. They come at me with something, I got something better. You know, Nick brought up my favorite one. His favorite one was a guy asked me, "How much do I weigh?" And without even thinking, I just said 10 pounds less than your mother. And the crowd lost it. And the guy felt like an idiot. And that was it. Shut up all night. So getting back to the whole thing. So when I was, you know, I always also watched stand-up comedy with my parents and wanted to make people laugh. So when this talent show came around, I saw this movie. A guy calls him Big Nose. And he says, "You think you could do better?" And he makes him throw a dart. And whatever he hits, he's got to come up with that many better. And he hit 20. So now Steve Martin had to come up with 20 better jokes about his nose being big than just, "Hey, Big Nose." And I do this too. People make a joke about my weight. It happened actually at Princeton. Buddy Ryan said something like and I was just like, "What does that have to do with anything? Like, you know, what do you mean?" And I just made him explain it because it wasn't funny. and I'm going to make you now be uncomfortable. And I said something back and it was better and whatever. And we moved on. So I saw this in the movies and I saw, you know, as a kid, you're watching, it's scripted and everything, but still it's the whole thing you're relating to. And Steve Martin is telling these jokes and the place is going crazy. And the girl he's in love with is laughing and, you know, seeing him for the funny guy and what he really is. And I was like, I want to tell jokes on stage. That's what I want to do. I knew it from as a kid. So when the talent show came around at camp, I, you know, they went around to everybody and I said to my counselor, I want to tell jokes. And I know what jokes I was going to tell. I just wanted to tell jokes on stage is where I, you know, I was 8 years old, 8, 9 years old. And the counselor was like, no, we got a better idea. We're going to take you and the other fat kids and we're going to put you on stage and we're going to play the remix that the Fat Boys made of Chubby Checker's Twist. And you're going to dance to that. You guys are going to do the twist to that. So there we were, 4 or 5 of us played the music and there we are doing the twist. And I remember looking down into the audience. And if you ever seen Def Comedy Jam, where the people are like falling over each other laughing, that's what these counselors are doing. It was the funniest thing in the world to them. And I've still never killed as much on stage as I did that day. But I felt like shit. I felt horrible about myself. Because it was legit just people sitting there laughing at me because of my weight. And this song playing, Chubby Checker and the Fat Boys. You know, it was... I didn't want to get back on stage again. You know, there was school plays. I didn't even try out for anything. I was like, I want to be the cameraman. We did Bye Bye Birdie. Everybody had to do something in the thing. I picked the cameraman. I held something, you know, while the person was singing. I never wanted to try out for anything to be on stage or be in front of people or be in a room, be the center of attention or anything like that. But yet I always had that feeling to go back on stage. And it took me till I was 30 years old to work up the courage. And it wasn't even that I worked up the courage. My mom passed away when I was 28. And I'm like, life is way too short. She was 52 when she passed away. So you're never guaranteed tomorrow on this earth. I'm like, I just want to try this, a bucket list thing. So I did. I signed up for the governor's open mic. I did it. And the second I grabbed the microphone, I was so nervous, like going up there. And as soon as I grabbed the microphone, I looked out into the crowd. This calm fell over me. Like, you're home. This is what you're supposed to do. This is your thing. And sure enough, about a minute into my set, some asshole had a dumb comment. And I don't even remember what I said, but without even blinking, I just turned and attacked him. And verbally, I didn't beat him. I didn't hit him. I just verbally went at him. And it's just always been, I'm lucky I have that defense. But it is, I always feel like I'm on there defending myself because of how I look. You know, I'm still afraid to talk to girls. I don't talk to women. I don't, you know, unless they make the first move and have to lay it out there. I'm not doing it because I fear that rejection so much from everything, you know, and that goes back to, I'm pinpointing it towards that moment when the thing I want to do the most, I got shot down. And I hate that feeling of being made a fool of. And I know, listen, you ask a girl out, she says, no big deal, but it brings me back to that feeling of, you know, being shut down and being, you know, thought of being made a fool of. So again, these are all things that are in my head that I deal with every day. And I'm happy that I got a chance to come on here and unload some of it because it does feel better. You know, these things happened and, you know, and that's why you can't judge somebody about, you know, how they are now. Cause you don't know what happened to them. And, you know, things are better now as far as mental health and dealing with things and out in the open. And I'm not saying back in my day, but I did. I grew up in the 80s and 90s where these things were not talked about. And you don't feel good to talk about it. I mean, if that thing at the camp happened now, imagine, think about it. If you're a parent right now, you have a kid about 7, 8, 9 years old, and that happened to him at camp. What are you doing? What's happening? You're suing that camp. It's in the open. You know, we do live in a cancel culture. I'm not saying I want people canceled, but we live in a different thing, you know. And again, I didn't talk about it. I didn't want to talk about it. I just like, okay, this is what it is. And I carried that, you know, and again, I always talked about it as a joke, as it was funny. But these things have, you know, when you're a child, these things imprint you and really make you who you are. So yes, I do have a wall up most of the time. People meet me. I do have a very hard exterior. I'm like an M&M. I have a thick candy shell, but I'm milk chocolate on the inside. Very, 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 I'm a good guy. Maybe a peanut M&M because I'm a little nutty as well. But, you know, I do have that wall up, and it's a mean one. The exterior of me is very, sometimes very unpleasant and very mean, because I push and reject people away before they could do it to me. And the people who have stuck around are, you know, I guess they won the prize of a good friend, because, you know, John Ziegler always says, he goes, Anthony is your friend, he is the best friend you'll ever have. He'll do anything for you. But if not, and I don't like that about myself in a lot of ways, but we try to change it. We try to, you know, but it's there and it's a defense mechanism and gets me in trouble a lot. I get talked to about it at work a lot. It's just, you know, I see somebody that I don't feel is doing the right thing or whatever, and I make, you know, again, I make a whole thing out of it and I just push it away. But anyway, that's a little deep dive into who I am and what I'm kind of dealing with now on this 6-year anniversary of this journey, and why I'm on it and why I have some of the issues that I have and why I can't maybe get a hold of it. And I'm going to keep exploring that, keep talking about it. And who knows, maybe I'll uncover something else that happened and get that out, and we'll really be on track and really be on a path to get this taken care of. And we've gone longer tonight. Usually when it's by myself, we're at a half an hour, but I had a lot to get off my chest today and get the stuff out of the basement. And I feel better about it. And, I thank you guys for hanging in there. If you have this whole time, if you ducked out a while ago, I don't blame you. But, you know, that's why I created this podcast, is because if anybody kind of is feeling the same way or have some of the same things you might have went through, again, you're not alone. We're not alone. That's the best thing about, I guess, a community, is you're not the only one. It's okay. You're okay. You'll be okay. Everything's going to be okay. My friend Tracy Carnazzo tells me that all the time. He goes, Aunt, you're okay. You're going to be okay. Everything will be okay. And I have to keep telling myself that. And I want you guys to keep telling yourself that. It's never as bad as it seems. And, you know, it's never, you know, the highs are never as high as it seems, and the lows are never as low. You know, get right in there and take care of it. Because even the bad times, you got to fight to get out of those, because it's not permanent. It's not forever. And, you know, Scott Hall said it best, and I'll end with this, you know, what he said. No, I forget what he said. I forget what he said. Scott Hall said, I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on. Cause I can't believe I'm drawing a blank here. The memory that I've said it more times to myself than anything else, but, I want to get it word for it. I don't want to mess it up. So please bear with me as I get this. Here it is. Here we go. I'm going to end with this. Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. That's from the late, great Scott Hall. I want to thank you all for tuning in this week to episode 275 of the Keep Moving Forward podcast. 275. It's a lot of episodes. We're going to keep bringing them out. I have no plans on stopping this. So thank you to everybody who's been here since the beginning, the middle, and just coming on board now. Always appreciate the support. Thank you so much. As always, we are played in and out each week by Hollow and their single Something to Believe. My best friend Nick wrote this song. It's also available on iTunes. Check it out. He got his new band Demon Scar with new music releasing all the time. Just released a live album from the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, California. Check it out. Also, it's on vinyl. Check it out at demonscar.bandcamp.com. Pick yourself up a copy. Long Island, only one place to go this summer for your deli needs. That's Finn's Deli, 4646 Merrick Road in Massapequa. Tell my brother Mike you heard the plug on the show. Get yourself an Uncle Cheese, the best sandwich out there. Not because it's named after me, because it really is that good. Check it out, the Uncle Cheese. That's a mirror thing. I can't really say it. Hey, Uncle Cheese, check it out. Finsdeli.com. Once again, thank you so much to everybody who joined us tonight. Everybody listening at home on your podcast, listening devices. This has been episode 275. Have an awesome week, and I will talk to you later.